Everybody, this is Dan from Unschooling with Kai. Of course, I'm here with
Kai.
And then we have two stuffed animals. We have Jasmine.
And Minnie.
And Minnie, which is a super small bear.
Like, you could fit him in the palm of your hand.
That mom just sewed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called, his first name is Minnie. Middle name is Snow. Or his middle name's White. And then his last name is Snow Bear. So Minnie White Snow Bear is his
full name. Minnie White Snow Bear.
Is his full name.
It's very descriptive. Yeah. So we're doing military working dogs, part two today. Woo woo! I got two jokes for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Why don't blind people go skydiving more often?
I don't know.
It scares their dog.
I don't get it.
Because blind people sometimes have seeing eye dogs.
Oh, so it like, but like blind people couldn't. I don't think run through the test. Well, no, you could. I bet you could.
I wonder.
I bet you could if you tried.
All right. Yeah. Next joke. Sure. You ready? Why did the snowman name his dog Frost?
I don't know.
Because he bites.
Frostbite?
Yeah.
That's why Jack. Wait. What is it?
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. If Jack Frost had a dog, then he would be the controller of winter, and he would be like, "You get frostbite, you get frostbite," and then the dog would invisibly sneak up and bite them in their hands, and then their hands would fall off
and turn black.
Yeah, and then fall off.
That's terrible, but also interesting.
Yep.
Yep. Me. True story. All right. I got a couple of updates, but mainly these are things that we kind of missed in the last episode, so I'm just gonna throw some stuff at you guys. One question was, do handlers stay with them in training and battle? And I actually didn't like fully figure this out, but from every source that I had, it was saying basically yes.
Oh, cool.
That the people that train them are the same people that stay with them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the war zone. Stray dogs are against rules at any like military base.
Oh.
But they're allowed to be that, well, so they can't be there as like obviously military working dog, but they're just kind of allowed to lift the soldier's spirits.
Oh.
So they're technically against the rules, but and then people can actually
adopt them.
Hmm. Right. Military working dogs are always awarded. I'm not sure if we said this, but I think we did. Possibly. Just to be sure.
Yeah.
They're always awarded one rank higher than their handler.
I feel like we said that, but
whatever. Okay. It's fine. And that's just to ensure that the dog is treated with respect, mm-hmm, because he's a superior.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely. Because dogs are cute.
Oh, finally. How many military working dogs are active at this point?
I'm guessing 3,000 to 5,000.
That's close. I have two kind of ranges. It's between 2,500 and 2,700.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a lot of active dogs.
But I thought 3,000. And
between 2,500 and 2,700. That's a range between those two numbers.
But you said you had two ranges.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Sorry, just one range.
Oh, okay.
Two numbers and one range. All right, that's it. We're going to talk about, today we'll talk about gear. We'll talk about
goggles and booties.
Yeah, we'll talk about rehab. We'll talk a little bit about the history of military working dogs, and then we'll have a couple tales.
Dog tales.
Dog tales.
Yay! All right. So, doggles and booties.
Doggles and booties. What are doggles?
Doggles are like goggles for dogs.
Doggles.
Doggles.
That's good. And they have them. They fit like the dog's face like pretty perfectly.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And what do they need doggles for?
Sand, flying debris, yeah, that could cut into the dog's eye and go, ow, 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 ow.
Ow, ow.
Ouch, ouch, ow, ow.
Yeah, definitely for things like sandstorms. But I've also seen that they've had goggles that could help the dog see human heat through even something as thick as a concrete wall. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty.
That's like human tech.
But
it's like human soldier tech for a dog.
Yeah, right.
High tech doggles.
Yeah. Oh.
What else? You said booties.
Booties.
Booties, little booties.
Yeah.
We're not talking about their butts, are we?
No, no. Like actual boots.
Boots for the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the boots for?
Army booty.
They for marching?
No. No, they're like to protect the dog's paws from like hard like concrete or metal or something that would hurt the dog's paws. So it just
yeah, something like sharp
padded and padded and insulated.
Sharp for sure, and then also something hot.
Yeah.
Like hot sand sometimes.
Or magma.
Liquid hot magma. That's right. And yeah, and that brings another thing, because sometimes they do have to walk over sharp items or rubble.
Like shrapnel and stuff.
Yeah.
And like sharp pieces of glass or concrete, like rebar or whatever. Like, you name it, they could probably walk.
Right. So the dogs kind of wear a vest, and the vest sometimes has that handle.
Aww.
And you can carry them like a duffel bag. So you just lift them right up and walk over whatever it is and then put them right back down.
It seems like they would like turn into like in Transformers, they would just turn into like a little
dog transformer.
Yeah, and they would be like, arr!
And then it turns into a gym bag.
Yeah, and then they're like, and then you're like carrying them, and then you can hear them go, rawr, 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 and then you place them down, and then they like transform back into a dog. Mechanical dog.
Perfect.
Actually. Yep.
All right. So their vests, I said the vests have like a handle, but mm-hmm. the vests also serve a couple other purposes. What are other ways that their vests are like souped up?
You can pour soup on them?
Nope.
You can.
You know what I mean by when I say soup.
I know.
All right.
There's like Kevlar.
Kevlar, so this is bulletproof?
Yeah, and then they protect better against what, grenades, shrapnel, rubble, and like really anything.
Right,
like
any projectiles.
Something scraping against you that could
help. I guess so, yeah. But then they also have cooling vests.
Oh, yeah.
For hot climates, especially like Afghanistan and whatnot.
And all the
Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Then, not for the dogs, but for the people, they equip the dogs with, like, some sort of technology to help people.
There's a camera.
Yeah, yeah. Camera. You saw that, right? The picture where there was, like, a camera kind of on the back?
Yeah.
It was in one of the books that we read.
Yeah.
So they put the...
Oh, they also have night vision goggles, I think.
I think they do. I think you're right.
Yeah. I saw in one of our books.
We might be mixing things, but you might be right. But I know for sure that the camera that they equip the dogs with on the back of their vests also has night vision can have night vision.
So technically, yeah.
And then they also have a radio for the dog. So the dog doesn't communicate, but the dog can hear the human communications like stop, stay, move, or whatever.
Oh, wow. Well, it would be cool if the dog's like, row, 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 and then they'll be like, okay, guys, an enemy, get in positions.
This is easily like a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's all I have for gear. Do you have anything else for gear?
No.
No, pretty simple.
But doggies save the day.
Doggies save the day.
Yep.
All right, so we decided to talk about history next. And Kai said he doesn't really remember anything about the history of working dogs.
Not really. If I do, then I'll tell you guys.
All right. So then I'll just hit you with what I got here.
All right. Barrage me with the facts.
The earliest, probably the first known military working dogs or dogs to have in battle and wearing armor were with like the Greeks and the Romans.
Oh,
that's
really?
Pretty far back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow, I thought it was like World War II or something.
Yeah, so there definitely was. They were in World War II, but they were also in World War I, and they were also even before then.
Oh, that's crazy.
In the 1800s, there were war pets and mascots. So just pets and mascots. Obviously, they weren't military working dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just a little bit of the history.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., the first time that they used military working dogs was in the Revolutionary War.
Well, that's 1770s.
That's good, man. 1775 to 1783, that was the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, I was like 1770 to 1780s.
Yeah. So they were used as messengers and as guards. Mm-hmm. And then they were also used in the Civil War. When do you think the Civil War was?
Civil War was...
What's the Revolutionary War and what's the Civil War? Do you know?
Revolutionary War was American and Britain, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, and then...
We were trying to get our own independence from. Mm-hmm. That's what Independence Day is for.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when they, like, that's when
the, they were freed from British rule.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then.
Then the Civil War.
Civil War, yeah. I can't.
Civil War.
I can't remember.
Any civil war is a country against itself.
Oh, like that's what that means. Like a country against its, like, states or whatever.
Yeah, it could be, like, half the states against the other half, which is kind of what the case was for the U.S. It was the North versus the South.
Huh.
And with the Civil War, it was over slavery.
Mm-hmm. How long did it last?
It was 18...
Don't say it. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
I'm guessing 50... to 62.
Okay.
Somewhere around 50.
That's good. 1861 to 1865.
Oh, I was close. I said 62. I was in the range.
So again, messengers and guards in the Civil War. 1884, we're hopping out of the U.S. now, and there was a German school that was started for army dogs.
Ooh.
So that's after the U.S. Civil War. Then we have made it up here to World War One. When do you think World War One was?
World War One was like, I was about to say 2000, and I was like, no.
No.
1907, 1914.
Oh, that's good. 1914 to 1918.
Oh, bro. I know it's so
cool. Do you know what World War One was, largely?
Trenches.
Trench warfare. Awesome.
Trench warfare, lines of shotguns, peace on Christmas, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, basically, that's...
But who were we fighting against? Who?
Italy? No.
There was one main person we were fighting against.
Wasn't Hitler, because that was World War II.
No, that was Hitler.
A what?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Then how was it World War II? I don't get it.
Right? World War II was,
Japanese,
yeah.
But then I don't get it, bro. Just don't.
All right, well, just get it.
Okay, I'll try.
Got it? Good.
Yeah, got it.
All right, so World War I was 1914 to 1918. Military working dogs were trained to bring back the hats of injured soldiers.
Oh, wow.
And so if they brought back the hats, then...
It'll say, like, Colonel E. Billy.
K. Muller.
Yeah, right?
And then people would know, oh, we have to go find that person.
And then, because they're hurt and we want to save them.
And I wonder if that was in, like, trench warfare, because... I remember reading about trench warfare, and nobody ever wanted to go in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. You have trench on one side, trench on the other side. Nobody wanted to go in the middle because you would just get shot. Even if you were trying to save one of, like, your own soldiers. Yeah, and there was a lot of, like, barbed wire in the middle, and yeah, not fun. So that's what the dogs did. They also served as messengers there. I think that's, like, a kind of a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
And then World War II.
The
Bub-Bub-2.
Bub-Bub-2.
When,
1923-1945.
Yeah, so it's 1939-1945. And what's interesting... Right. That's a game that we play. What's it called? 1943?
Something
like that.
I forget. Like Sega Genesis or something. Sega Genesis.
Yeah. A lot of these wars are... Well, every war that we've named so far has been under 10 years. Some, like, close to 4 or 5 years.
But then Vietnam,
right, we're going to get to, was, like, close to 20 years, which is crazy. Imagine a year, a war for... It was 18 years.
I thought you said 20.
That's, like... Oh. That's twice your life right now.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm 9. I'm turning 10 soon.
So, imagine living through that.
Wow.
You're only halfway through.
Oh, no.
All right. So World War II, they served as messengers.
Yeah.
Were you going to guess that?
No, you lived two Vietnams.
Okay. I didn't get there yet. Oh, yeah, right.
You,
it's true.
You lived almost two Vietnams.
Yeah, I'm two Vietnams old.
Yeah, that's how we should do ages. Like, I'm one world WWW too old.
I'm only a quarter Vietnam.
I'm half Vietnam.
So World War II messengers.
I'm a half Vietnam.
They patrolled or warn the soldiers of enemies. And if you ever see like a cartoon with a dog in it, I'm wondering if Dogman ever did this, but they like point at something. You ever see a dog like point, like his body becomes really rigid and his nose points right at something and he stays there? Well, that means that they're pointing at like either the prey or the enemy. Mm-hmm. So that's what a lot of the soldiers did in World War II in terms of warning of enemies. They also, people would put reels of wire on their back and the dogs would run and lay like a telegraph line for communication.
That's funny.
No, that's World War II still. Oh, wow. And then they started sniffing around for landmines.
Ooh. I wonder if any dogs were like set off and it was like,
pew. That would be terrible.
That would be terrible.
But I'm sure that happened. I'm sure it happened.
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah, that would be crazy if that didn't happen. That would be so crazy.
Yeah.
But that would be good.
Then they also guarded. So they guarded things like soldiers, weapons, buildings.
Ooh, like a safe house?
Yeah. So they would stay as like a guard dog. And they were also trained to attack. However, sometimes they would attack harmless people.
No.
Because they were
like hyper aggressive, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So they just get away.
I'm one World War II. Wait, no. How long was World War
II? World War II was 6 years. So you were.
I'm
1.5 World War IIs.
And I'm half. Wait, no. I'm almost one half Vietnam. Almost.
Well, you're half because it was 18 years. So.
Oh yeah. So.
Nine is half of 18.
Oh really? 9918?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I'm technically half.
Yeah.
I'm half. Wait, how would you say half?
Half Vietnam. Vietnam War.
I'm half Vietnam War old.
Yes. Years old.
Years old, yes, exactly.
Still in World War II, the dogs were first officially allowed to be there, right?
Okay.
And there was a thing called Dogs for Defense. I think we did read about this. DFD.
Oh, dogs for defense.
And they were, because we were worried about an attack on U.S. soil, they would guard the U.S. coastline. Right? And I'm guessing more on the California side than anything.
Yeah, definitely.
And so the way that they did this is that they asked American families to donate their pets. And there was 19, and when I say pets, I mean dogs. There was 19,000 dogs donated.
That'll be funny if, like, bunnies were donated.
Right? Here's my hamster, Crab. I hope he helps you win the war.
you put a fish in a bowl on, like, the beach.
He's just, guard him. and then, so 19,000 were donated, but only 10,000 were trained. Which is interesting. I wonder what happened to those other 9,000. Were they, like, just given back, or...
Redonated,
adopted.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
All right, now we have made it to Vietnam War.
Vietnam.
1957 to 1975.
1957.
At this point, the dogs were pretty much doing most of what they did already. Mm-hmm. They were also smelling for enemies, because a lot of Vietnam War was Vietnamese people hiding. Well, yeah, it was definitely in a jungle.
A jungle?
Jungle. Yeah, I can't talk today. But they were hiding out a lot in, like, tunnels and stuff underground.
Ooh.
And burrows. So the dogs were smelling the enemies, and the dogs were so helpful in this, and this is what led to them opening Lackland.
Lackland Air Force Base?
Yeah.
Or, like, for dog
the,
training?
The dog training part of it. And that was opened in 1972.
I bet at the time of recording, there's one dog being trained at Lackland right now.
One? You mean just one alone?
No. Just there's a dog being trained at Lackland.
I'm sure there's a lot more being trained
right
now.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. That's all I got on history. So I guess we'll hit up rehab next. So rehab, rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation.
Perfect. So that's, we're talking about like when the military working dogs either retire, mm-hmm. or when they're hurt and mm-hmm. can go back into battle, or when they're hurt and have to retire because they're hurt.
Ah, yeah.
Right? So rehab is done at Lackland Air Force Base, mm-hmm. again, San Antonio.
I feel like I
Texas.
Texas. I feel like I should build this in Minecraft, like a whole Lackland Air Force Base where you can train Minecraft dogs.
I feel like you've said this at least 3 other times in this podcast.
What?
I should build this in Minecraft.
What, like in our podcast?
Yeah, just like anything.
Yeah, sure.
That would be really cool in Minecraft if I build it.
But I'm building an airport, so I'm also, my queue is full.
Yeah. Yes. So where are we? So they have a dog hospital at Lackland. There's 20 operating rooms, which sounds like a lot, by the way. There's doggy physical therapy.
Aww.
It's like a little gym.
Aww,
and the hospital can have up to 25 to 30 dogs at a time.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Here's why, like, rehab is necessary.
Rehabilitation.
Sounds like you're saying hillbilly. Rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation.
Hillabilla.
Hillabilla.
So dogs that lose their owner or like handler, mm-hmm. for example, they're in battle and their handler gets killed,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. That's pretty traumatic. So mm-hmm. the dogs can become depressed, mm-hmm. and they can have a weakened appetite.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And a weakened immune system, so they can get sick easier.
So their macrophages and B cells and T cells aren't working on.
Yeah. And this is definitely like depression / PTSD, post-traumatic stress mm-hmm. disorder type stuff.
Post-traumatic sewer disorder.
So obviously that's something that they have to help the dogs with. Kind of the same things that soldiers have to deal with after mm-hmm. they come out of like... battle and have intense like war zone mm-hmm. experiences.
Yeah.
So losing their owner can be really traumatizing. They're given special training once they retire. That's at age 10. That's when they retire.
And I imagine there's like an old people home. What's that called?
An old dog home.
Yeah.
Like, a nursing home.
Yeah, and you see like a dog with like a Medal of Honor. Just like
they have like a retirement ceremony.
Just like the Restart book. Do you remember?
Yeah. The
what was his name?
The Purple Heart or something. Or was it a Medal of Honor?
Medal of Honor, yeah. We're not gonna spoil it.
Alright. So then once they retire, they have to learn to live off the battlefield. Because when you live in the battlefield, you're on like high alert,
mm-hmm.
right?
But
you're tense.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be like ready for action at any moment.
Yeah, because if a gunshot fires and hits the wall, you're like...
You gotta, like, get down! Yeah, and then fire back or whatever. But when you're living in your house or apartment or anywhere else, like...
You can't be, like
hiding. When you're a civilian, you don't have to worry that much.
You can't be hiding... You don't have to be hiding around a corner anticipating your every... Someone, like, you're, like gonna attack your cat because he clawed you or something.
So they're given special training to learn to live off the battlefield. That used to put all dogs to sleep after service. And by to sleep, I mean...
Like dead.
Death. Put to death. But then that was because the way that they trained them was like the dogs wound up being too aggressive or too hard to handle. Mm-hmm. And also they didn't really have like debriefing. They didn't really understand how to train them again to not be aggressive.
Oh, like just to be a normal house pet.
Right. So a lot of work there. A lot of families these days wait to adopt military working dogs once they retire. I know.
I want to do that.
That would be cool. And so the dogs with PTSD, when they experience terrifying situations like gunfire and explosions,
mm-hmm.
When they come out of the war zone, they frighten easily,
mm-hmm.
right? Get scared. They're sad. They're nervous. But supposedly for most of those dogs that have PTSD, they recover.
Because like other people are like willing to take them in or whatever.
Yeah. Help them. Give them a
home.
A soothing home. Mm-hmm. Right.
Warm, comfy. You get to cuddle on the couch all you want.
It's exactly what you want, right?
Yeah, just like we're doing right now.
Yep.
Because we're on the couch.
That's all I got for the rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation.
You got anything?
No.
All right. We'll get to some dog tales. Dog tales.
Yeah.
Dog tales.
Dog tales.
All right. So, lots of cool dog tales. These ones that we have that are listed in a lot of the books that we read are these like super heroic. Yeah, like just really feel good stories.
5 stars.
Slightly sad, but always feel good in the end.
Always feel good.
Yeah. It's like, this dog did this, this dog protected his owner in this way.
And then this happened, but then this happened.
Here's the deal, though. The truth is there are lots of not so happy
dog tales. But we chose the best ones.
Well, I mean, books did this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's kind of a little bit of propaganda to say, like, hey, it's great that we have military working dogs.
And
but maybe the truth is it would be great if we didn't need
them.
Military?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. We didn't. I don't know.
But we always need dogs. Always.
We always need dogs.
Always. Because
they're adorable.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to start 1917. Do you remember Stubby the pit bull? He was the first guy.
I think so.
He was like super popular. He was kind of a mascot.
I remember him. I petted him.
You pet him?
I'm like over 100 years old, just so you guys know.
Okay. So you're like 5 Vietnams old?
Yeah.
5 Vietnam years
even
old.
Even though you guys saw me do parkour, I'm just actually like 150 years old.
Good to know.
Yep.
So Stubby,
you're like so Stubby.
So moving on to Stubby. He was in 17 battles.
What? That's a lot.
That's a lot. But not like 17 wars. 17
okay.
battles.
Okay.
He warned, like some of his stories include warning soldiers of poison gas.
Ooh.
He found a bunch of wounded soldiers.
This is the reaction.
He attacked a German spy that people didn't know he was a spy. And he was the first dog to earn the rank of sergeant.
Ah.
Now, I wonder, because this is 1917, we're talking over 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's why I'm 100 years old.
Of course. I'm wondering how much of this is, like, exactly true and how much of this was, like, built on, like, embellished.
Stubby.
Made, like, more intense to you know, make him seem better.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right. But anyway, those are the stories that we know and have been written in a lot of military working dog books.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to fast forward past a bunch of the wars to like Afghanistan, because that's where a lot of the stories come from.
2011, around there.
2010, 2011, that's true.
Obama area.
At 2010, there were 3 dogs that stopped a suicide bomber in Afghanistan.
Ooh. Oh yeah, I feel like I remember this.
In 2011... there was a dog named Lex who sniffed the ground of where attackers came in Afghanistan.
I thought it was Rex. I don't know.
I feel like this one was Lex.
Okay, whatever.
He sniffed the ground and then led the Marines to one of the shooters in a nearby village where he was hiding out.
Like a sniper?
Yeah. Isn't that pretty good?
What?
So there was Afghani attackers or some sort of attackers that came and attacked the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
The dog sniffed the ground where the attack happened,
mm-hmm.
and then went to led the Marines to a nearby village,
mm-hmm.
and found one of the shooters.
Oh, like the attacker?
Yeah, the attackers.
Oh. Hmm.
That's cool. Pretty intense, right?
Yeah.
Also in 2011, this is Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of Al-Qaeda that was, like, responsible for the 9/11 bombing of the Twin Towers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a dog named, do you remember his name?
No!
Bless you.
Thank you, no.
Sneeze count, 1.
I was about to sneeze.
That's funny, I felt like I had to sneeze earlier. This dog's name was Cairo, and he was a Belgian Malinois.
Cairomaniac.
Good. He was, they were helicoptered in,
mm-hmm. With the little dog handle?
Probably. There was a bunch of Navy SEALs, right? Mm-hmm. They went there using CIA intel to know where, intel meaning mm-hmm. intelligence, mm-hmm. to know where Osama bin Laden was hiding out.
Go.
It was a 40-minute mission.
Set positions.
The Cairo checked for bombs, mm-hmm. secured the perimeter. What's that mean? Secure the perimeter.
Like guard around the outside.
Make sure that there's no one there, right? Mm-hmm. And then was the first to hear and smell Osama bin Laden.
Ooh.
Pretty cool, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then, so those are the big ones, but then there's many stories that are like a wounded soldier or a dead soldier, like a handler.
Mm-hmm.
Is laying on the ground and the dog lays on top of it. To protect them.
That's cute.
And sometimes that even happened when the dog was wounded too.
Wait, what do you mean? Like the
dog took a shot or a couple shots
mm-hmm.
and then like crawled over the wounded or even dead handler and laid on top.
Aw, it's cute.
I know. It's cute, but it's really sad, right?
Yeah,
isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm. That is very terrible.
And then there was a lot of stories where the dogs were released to live with the dead soldier's family.
Aww.
Or the passed away soldier's family.
It's cute.
Cute, but also war.
Sad.
War is bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Hashtag war is bad. You forgot to add the hashtag.
Cool, yeah. Hashtag that's it.
Hashtag cool.
Hashtag cool.
Hashtag all right.
You got anything else?
Hashtag now.
All right.
Hashtag cool.
Cool, 32.
Yay!
So that was the end of our episode, part 2, Military Working Dogs. That's the end of Military Working Dogs.
Yep.
And we have an interesting announcement that moving forward, we're going to be shifting the format of the show. Instead of covering like huge topics
mm-hmm.
That sometimes wind up being like 5 podcasts or 5 episodes long,
yeah.
We're going to be doing smaller, shorter like snippets, and they're going to be all around like questions that we have.
And then that way we can make like one a week.
What's one of the questions that we've had recently?
I don't know. I would have to look.
I'm thinking back, like some of the questions that we've had were like, the balloon. Why doesn't a balloon pop? Or
yeah.
What was that?
I forget.
Something about. Oh no! It was how does air escape from a balloon?
Oh yeah.
And was it right?
That was like a couple days ago.
Right. So we'll be doing individual questions. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in.
Mm-hmm.
Our email is unschoolingwithkai
@gmail.com.
And if you know your questions pique our fancy as well, then we'll try and
pique our fancy.
Like if they interest us as well.
Oh yeah.
Then we will we'll answer them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So shorter podcast, shorter episodes coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I say guys, but there's girls out there
yeah,
too.
Guys and girls.
Guys and y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed
we
the show.
We should say y'all from now. Y'all.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
And yeah. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Yay.
Yay.